long time ago, you had taken your own life.
Yeah.
And you died, you came back to tell about it. Could you describe just a little bit for those listening and who don't believe in hell or even believe in an afterlife? Can you describe what you experienced?
Well, at the time, I was one of those people that didn't believe in heaven or hell. I believed in a God, but I wasn't sure about the whole hell issue and this and that. So what had happened, I had been dealing with depression, and I didn't know, because I was a very proud person. I was unsafe, and I would mock people and make fun of the ones that were depressed and moping around, and because I could always pull it together. It was one of those things. I'd gone to engineering school and was just freshly out of school and came back, and I had a series of other events in my life go down. And I wasn't handling it very well, and I didn't realize that. So it was in the summer, and I was about 20 years old, and we went up to our summer place. I went up with my parents, and I just wasn't doing well, but I wouldn't tell anybody because, like I said, I was proud.
Okay.
So I had a bit of a sore throat. So what I did is I went over to a country doctor, and I remember clear as bell as I was sitting in the waiting room, I was looking at this sign. And it gave all these symptoms, and I got to the bottom of these, and it said, if you have any of these symptoms, you're dealing with depression. And I said, man, I got all of those. So I went in and told the doctor, because at that point, you know, I had nothing else to lose. So she prescribed me some medication. And then things kind of really progressed from there. It was a couple of days went by, and I still hadn't told anybody that of the things I was just feeling, and I couldn't deal with them. And then one night, after playing cards with a friend, I'd come home, back to our summer cottage now. As I was there, I was laying in bed, and things just really overtook me. It's where the devil really get in there. I didn't want to live anymore. I really couldn't deal with it on my own. And I decided that I was going to go ahead and just end it. And I hadn't put any thought into it before. It just really was a spur of the moment thing, that I just could not handle reality anymore, and I needed out. So I had the medication that the doctor had prescribed me, and I got up, and I took them two by two. Now this is where things get interesting. I didn't take the whole bottle because I knew it would make me sick.
Yeah.
What I did do is I took them two by two until I took what I would say is just enough, so that they couldn't pump my stomach, they couldn't do anything.
It'd be in your system.
Yeah, it was totally in my system. So then I went back to bed, and then after that, probably about an hour went by, and I got back up, and I said, well, that didn't seem to be working. So I went and found some sleeping pills that my mother had had, and I did the same thing, took just enough of those. And it was a combination of those pills and the other ones that I was on that really get into my system and did the damage. Now, what had happened earlier on in the night is my mom had gone over to a fellow's house and borrowed one of those old wind-up clocks, you know, that go ding-ding-ding.
Amen, yeah.
And the tick-tock clock would drive you nuts in the night. But she got one of those, and she put it by my bed because I was supposed to start a new job the next day. When I walked in that night, I thought, what is that clock doing there? And now that was a strange thing, the start of the miracles, because I never needed, I'm one of the people that don't need a clock to wake up. But it was there, so when morning rolled around, the clock was going off, and nothing happened.
So nothing happened?
Nothing happened.
You didn't wake up?
I didn't wake up. But before I went to sleep, this is the key thing, before I went to sleep, I remember pulling the covers up, and I said, Lord, please forgive me for what I've done. Actually, I called him God at that time, because I didn't know him as Lord. I called him God. I said, God, please forgive me for what I've done.
Amen.
And there was something in me that had to do that, and then I went to sleep. So morning rolls around, and nothing happens. My mom gets up, and she comes over, and I'm really pale gray. My lips are blue, and I'm not breathing very well, and they cannot get me awake. And they were trying everything. They splashed water on me. They had people coming over trying to walk me around on our deck, trying everything to get me to come around.
Wow.
And they didn't know what was going on until they looked over and they saw a note that I had left. And that told the story right there. They knew that they saw the empty bottle of pills.
Yeah.
And knew that I had tried to kill myself. And they loaded me in the car, and they took me over to the country doctor that gave me the pills again. And And she looked and she told me that you need to get him to a hospital right away. He's in serious condition. Well, now we're 50 miles away from the nearest hospital.
50 miles away?
Yeah, and wow. We're an hour, at least an hour away. And,
wow.
No ambulances or anything. So they start tearing off and they load me in the back seat. And they're trying to perform CPR on me in the back, but my jaw locked. Couldn't get my mouth open, couldn't get oxygen in there. Couldn't get anything happening there. So they finally got me to the hospital. And when they got me in there, they started to do some work on me.
Hmm.
But there's not much they could do. They said, he's too deep. And those were the words they kept using. They kept using with my parents, that he's too deep.
Well,
there's nothing we can do. They said, we can't pump his stomach. They've been in his system long enough.
That's right.
And they said, he's taken just enough. And there was that whole just enough thing that the devil used.
Yes.
He knew what he was doing.
That's it.
And, so then my heart stopped once, and they got me back. They got me back the first time, and they said, we're just going to have to wait and see. And then I don't know the timeline after that, but it wasn't shortly after that my heart stopped for the second and the final time.
Wow.
They told my parents, they said, you need to call the family. And they prepared them. They said, we don't think he's going to make it. And they said, if he does, he could have severe brain damage. They said, we just don't know the damage that's done. So, I didn't make it. My heart did stop. And, I was laying in a hospital bed. The doctor said he's gone. The doctor locked out, called the family, and they were leaving them just to be with me before they shipped me down to the morgue. I was gone. Right about then, suddenly, it's kind of like I appeared. It was the strangest thing, where I focused in suddenly, and I was staring at this sink. And it took me a few seconds to get my bearings. I thought, okay, I've seen a sink, and I realized where I was, and I looked up, and a nurse, she went blowing by me, and it, almost like she went through me, like she didn't see me, and I thought, man, she was rude. And then as I looked over, I saw my brother running down the hallway. My sister quickly in tow, and they were crying. He was a mess, and he was going out. And then I couldn't figure out if I was in a dream or not.
You didn't know?
No, I didn't know. It was so real, because I thought, what am I doing standing there watching them? And then I looked over, and I could see my parents. And I said, my gosh, what are they doing? They were looking down, and I saw they were watching somebody. And the doctor left the room. And then it was really strange, because then I realized who it was. It was me. I was looking at myself in that bed, and then underneath the bed I saw a black diamond form. That's the only way I can explain this thing. It's this hole almost opened up under the bed, but it's like a black diamond, and just like lightning, man, I was sucked across the floor, and boom, down through this thing I went. And suddenly it was like the lights went out. I was in total darkness. There was no ground, there was no sky. Absolutely nothing. If you close your eyes in a complete darkness, that's where I was. Yeah, it was the strangest thing. That's when I realized things were real. And I said, this isn't a dream. The only light that I could see is when I held up my hand, I could see my hand. And I looked at my hand, and that was the only light I could see. The only thing I could see was my hand. And I put my hand back down, and I saw almost like a window effect, kind of like a piece of glass. I was looking out, almost like through a one-way mirror. And I could see my parents now at this point. And I could see them standing over the bed, but they were broken. Because, I mean, I was still their baby. You know, there were three kids, and I was still their baby. And it was so unexpected. They were just so broken. And that was the hardest thing for me to see.
Your family.
Yeah, and all I wanted to do was say I'm sorry. That's all I was trying to do. I just want to say I'm sorry. I'm here. I'm okay. I didn't mean to do this. Because it was almost like I could see further into their lives what was coming. It was so strange that the breakdowns, and I wanted them to know know, that don't blame yourself, don't... But I couldn't get to them, so I knew it was going to happen. I couldn't move. I could move freely, but I couldn't go anywhere.
No way.
I'd try to walk, and I just couldn't move.
My.
And that was just a little glimpse of the torment just starting there. Then I heard this angry voice. And I'd never heard anybody this angry in my life. I didn't know it was possible for a voice to be this big.
Hmm.
It came from over behind my right or left shoulder, I forget which one now. And it said, "Those who commit suicide go nowhere." The voice said that. I turned around to look. I couldn't see anybody there. I couldn't see anybody there.
Just to clarify, when you said this voice was the angriest you'd ever heard, but then it said this suicide will take you nowhere, so what voice would that have been?
I didn't know at that time.
You didn't know at that time.
Didn't know at that time. Had a funny feeling who it was.
Yeah.
You know, but things were still progressing where it was. You know, I really had a feeling I was hearing God. But he was so angry. And I looked back through this window, and I could just see them. Then this real torment in my mind started. If you're... Now, I've talked to many other people since then that have been to hell and back, and they all had the same thing. They all have the same experience of, you suddenly get a feeling of what eternity is. And nobody, and in your earthly, fleshly mind, you can't figure it out how long eternity is. But when you're there, man, you know it. It's the strangest thing, you know it.
So this wasn't a dream. You're in the hospital, you're declared dead, then you have this experience.
Yep. I started to realize, okay, I'm here forever. And then it seemed like a couple of hours went by, and this angry voice came back on me. And said, "Those who commit suicide go nowhere. You're not getting a second chance." Word for word, he said, "You're not getting a second chance."
Well.
And didn't say anything else, just left it at that. Then I knew. I said, "Okay, I really did it. I'm not getting it." I said, "This is where I'm at forever." And that's when it hit me. I was never going to see my parents again, because now I knew what eternity was. And I knew that wherever I was real. So I said, "My God, I'm never going to see anybody again. Anybody."
You knew it.
And I knew it, man. Beyond the shadow of a doubt, I knew it. And so after that, it seemed like forever that I was just there. And I was going through all the people I wanted to hug and love on and say sorry and repent. But I couldn't get to any of them.
Man,
and just
man.
As angry as that voice was, it came on, and then it was the most gentle, loving voice. And I wish I could explain it, but it said, "You're not getting a second chance, but a new beginning. A new beginning."
No.
So then everything stopped at that point. Then I woke up. I came to. My eyes kind of cleared, and it was done over, and I was suddenly in the intensive care, waking up. And I had tubes that had three IVs up one arm, up the other. I had tubes to every part of my body, you know. After I finally it took me a little while to come around, and when I finally did, you know, they send in a psychiatrist. That's the first thing they send in. The medical doctor checks you over. Then they send in a psychiatrist. And I thought, "Oh, great. I'm nuts. They're going to think I'm nuts." And that was one of my biggest fears. But he came over to me, and he was a real interesting fella. The first thing he said to me was, "You want to tell me where you were?" So I said, "Okay, well, I'm in our summer place and playing cards." And he stopped and said, No. "I want you to tell me where you were." And I stopped and I looked at him. I said, "Well, what do you mean?" He said, "Tell me where you were." And I said, "How do you know about this?" I said, nobody could have possibly told you, because I didn't tell anybody, because it just happened. And he said, "Tell me." So I did. I proceeded to tell him everything that happened. And he just looked at me, and it didn't shock him. It didn't fizz him. He didn't know. He said, "I've heard that same story many times." Psychiatrist said that to me. "I've heard that same story many times." So I said, "Well, how did you know?" dead for a while. I don't know how long. I haven't been able to figure it out. I've asked my parents, but it was such a fog to them.
Man.
It was a while. They pronounced dead and walked away and called the family. You're gone.
Hmm.
They said, you were dead. Your heart stopped twice. The second time, said, they didn't get you back. Wow. Then, next thing he says to me, he says, you want to talk to clergy? I said, oh, yeah, you know it. I got some questions. And I was able to tell clergy, and he would explain a few things to me. I still didn't understand, because by that time, I did have some damage. I had a hard time walking again. I had to kind of learn how to walk. Lost everything. Lost all my high school. Couldn't remember very much about that. I lost everything almost before, after that date. Like a week before, I could remember all that clear, but my long-term memory was gone. It took a long time for it to come back, too. And there's still a lot of stuff I don't remember. Thank God, you know, there's stuff you don't need to remember. But to get back, what was going on in the hospital while I was in the darkness, after they pronounced me dead, this tall doctor walked through the door. And my parents looked over and looked up at him, and he stood over me for a second. He looked down at me. He turned to my parents, and he looked back at me again. He said, I'm not losing another one.
Wow.
And he drew his fist back, and he punched me in the chest. Nothing happened. And he said again, he said, I'm not losing another one. And he drew his fist back. My father said, if you weren't dead, he was going to kill you. He hit you so hard. He said, no, I heard things cracking. And I'm sure he did, because I was sore when I woke up.
Man.
Punching me in the chest. And that was it. And the second time after he did, he pointed to me, and they said, he commanded you. He said, you open your eyes now. And I did. He said, now you hold up your arm. And I held it up. And my parents said, but the lights were on, but nobody was home. We could see in your eyes that you weren't there. They said, but you were doing what he was telling you.
Wow.
He turned to them, and he said, he'll be fine. He left. The doctor walked back in. My parents said, who was that? The doctor said, I don't know. And it took him a long time to realize who he was. He was a doctor who was in charge of the intensive care unit, the medical intensive care unit, four floors up.
Wow.
They asked, did you call him? The doctor said, no. Did anybody call him? Everybody said, no, we didn't call him. We don't know how he knew. Just knew.
Man, oh man.
He came down. He just knew. He came down that something was going on. Said, I'm not losing another one.
Well.
I did get a chance to meet that doctor later on, and I believe firmly in my heart that man was born again. So after that, like I said, I had to learn to walk again, learn to talk. So then I went on the search. You know, I went on the search to be saved, because I wanted to know what went down. But I started searching all the wrong areas, because when the devil got in, I thought, oh, he's searching. I ended up in horoscopes and witchcraft and all that, not knowing. It was real innocent for me, trying to find out what the supernatural was.
Yeah.
Until one day, it was so cool, man. It was the coolest thing. I had a recording studio in St. John, New Brunswick at the time, and it was doing okay. You know, and I was still at the bars, still doing all that stuff, still not forgetting what had happened to me.
That's right.
And this man walks through the door, and he says, my name is Don Mabee. And I knew who Don Mabee was. Everybody knew who Don Mabee was. He was a big radio guy. He was somebody I thought was cool. And I didn't know why, because I was never starstruck. But when I heard him on the radio, there was that witness again. There was something about him. So I was absolutely freaked out that this guy was standing in my studio. He was just a radio guy, you know? I was freaked out. And he said, listen, he said, I've got this Christmas show coming up. He said, it's a contemporary Christian thing. He said, we have to do 24 hours of Christian music. He said, can you produce it for me? I said, sure. He said, for free. Said, for free.
Mm.
He said, for free. I said, yes. Needed to make, you know, ends meet.
Man.
So, my business partner at that time just hit the roof. Doing, saying yes, that's, you know, I mean, it took almost 50 hours to produce this. So I was sitting with this music day in. just worked 50 hours, and I'm not doing this again for free. Can you produce this weekly show for me in 6 hours? Blah, 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 for free. I said yes again.
You said yes.
I said yes. You know, I'm about to go bankrupt saying yes to this man, but I had to. So, he finally comes in. I do this for a couple of weeks, and he walks in one day, and I just pointed at him. I said, you sit down. And he had a look on his face like he knew what was coming. I said, sit down. I've got questions. And he says, all right. I said, who is this? I said, who's what? Don't play dumb. Who's Jesus? I said, who's this Jesus in all this music? And he told me about him. And I accepted Christ right there. Yeah, that was it, man. Accepted Christ. And then things changed. Once I got into church and started reading my Bible, man, I was freaking out because I was finding everything that happened to me
was there.
In that Bible.
Amen.
In that book that I knew nothing about, that was just a coaster, I found out that I was in the outer, I was cast into the outer darkness. And I could find it. This is wild. I could find the wrath of God had come upon me. And I had heard that, and I also found the grace of God. You know, I'd heard the audible voice of God that time. So everything that had happened to me, I could find in the Bible. So man, it was so real, I couldn't turn back no matter what I did.